says this from the start of John's account of Jesus' life. John, an eyewitness, says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from John, whose name was John, sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we'll spend some time thinking about those words now. Let me ask you a question. What would make your jaw hit the floor this Christmas? Maybe if Christmas dinner was on the table, Christmas lunch before 4 p.m, that would make my jaw hit the floor. If Great Aunt Louise could stay away from the sherry, that might make my jaw hit the floor. Your boss gives you some time off. Time off actually feels like time off. What would make your jaw hit the floor? Or maybe it'll be the present. I was looking in a newspaper, and they were showing us the inside of some of the new buildings that are going up around here. So that's the inside of the spire, one of the rooms that's going up next door to us, and that's something in Landmark Pinnacle. But the article was making the point that all the marketing for this stuff is not aimed at the people who are going to live there. It's aimed at the parents of the people who are going to live there. The parents who are going to buy their child into this world. Dad, if you listen to the recording of this, I can think of something I'd like you to buy me. Well, maybe our gifts won't be as jaw-dropping, but at least I'm looking for something this year that will give me that feel-good factor. Last year I got hair clippers, and I didn't get the same kind of feel good as a result. John says there's something that makes his jaw hit the floor, and we'll look at it in a moment. I don't know if you've watched any of the Blue Planet 2 series. People have been watching that. Some of that stuff's made my jaw hit the floor. My favourite thing is the octopus. That doesn't look much like an octopus, does it? That's the octopus. What is that? That is the octopus disguising itself with shells to protect itself from a pajama shark. I mean, who knew octopuses were that clever? But they can disguise themselves with shells. It just, as I was watching it, as you watch any of those David Attenborough shows, your jaw's there on the floor. You see something that's glorious. Have a look down with me at little number 14 at the bottom of these sheets. If you're thinking the word's too small and you should have gone to Specsavers, I apologise for that. Let me read it out for you. The Word, Jesus, God the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen his glory, John says, like the glory of Blue Planet. Glory is not really a word we use anymore, but it's something that makes your jaw hit the floor. Maybe you think John's talking it up a little bit too much. Have you ever been missold something? This is what one mum went out to buy from Amazon. This is what arrived, printed onto the pillowcase. She thought she was buying a nice comfy pillow, and she was missold, and that's what actually That's what actually arrived. Made me think John is doing a bit of mis-selling here. He's overselling it. I don't know what you make of Christmas here today. I don't know what you make of the religious side of it. There are lots of different worldviews represented here. I'm sure lots of different people with lots of different perceptions and starting points. Look with me tonight. Is John overselling, or is it society that's underselling Christmas and Christianity? John says he looks and he sees something glorious. Earlier on in the reading, in verse 3, his glory is seen in what he has made. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Unashamedly, the Bible just states the case. Look at Blue Planet 2, marvel at that, and then marvel at the one who made it all. Marvel at its glory, don't forget the glory of the one who made it. The Bible claims creation has a kind of a signpost, a sign kind of glory. Our house is on the south end of the Isle of Dogs, and we can just see the edge of Canary Wharf from our kitchen. And every morning, my three-year-old daughter Phoebe comes downstairs, and she's sitting there, and she stares at her favourite sign. She goes, I can see a Puffer Phoebe, Daddy. I can see a Muffer Mummy. And then she sits there and she goes, J.P. Morgan! J.P. Morgan! She's literally obsessed with the sign. Every morning she points it out to me. But that's not the point, is it? The sign is supposed to lead you to do business with J.P. Morgan, other banks, banking options available. The sign of creation is not supposed to just leave you marvelling at the sign. It's supposed to drive you to marvel at the one who made it. It's a signpost kind of glory. But in this chapter, God's glory is seen not just in creation, but in the incarnation. Charles Wesley's hymn says, "Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." That's what we had in verse 14. He says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. John doesn't want us to just see a plastic baby in a manger stuck there all weak and pathetic. He wants us to see something glorious. What's the glory? Well, look at the end of the verse. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Here's a twist. This isn't just what we see when we look at God. This is about what God sees when he looks at us. God sees us. He's the very definition of truth. He sees the truth about everything, but along with that, he sees the truth about us. I don't know if you've spotted this if you're not British, but British people are not famous for disclosing much about themselves. We like to keep things slightly hidden away. So I saw on Twitter the other day, a wife said this: for 12 years, my husband gave his neighbour a six-pack of beer and got chocolate in return. The neighbour is a teetotaler, for 12 years said nothing, and the husband is a vegan and won't eat the chocolate. Hashtag most British story ever. People not wanting to disclose themselves and what they're like. We don't like to disclose ourselves, but God, he sees the truth. He sees all that is good, all that is praiseworthy, and yet all that we'd want to hide away. How does he respond? He responds with truth and with grace. Grace and truth. I want us to just stop in the middle of this, middle of the talk, and just watch a quick video clip that hopefully will capture some of these truths. So make yourself comfortable. It's about 2.5 minutes. What did you make of that as a video? Did you see why we watched it in the middle of a talk, looking at these ideas of grace and truth? Have you ever felt any of that sense of wanting to hide underneath something that you present to the world, fearing what people will see? And wouldn't you love that to be true, even if you're not a Christian here today? Would you at least want this to be true, that there'd be somebody who's ready to see you as you are, and yet bring grace, bring help, bring forgiveness. See, God sees the truth about humanity. The Bible says we might want to hide it away under the wrapping paper, but God sees it. What is praiseworthy, yet what people want to cover. Jesus is gloriously full of truth. So the Bible says that there is a judgment day, and on judgment day, he's not going to be fooled by the wrapping paper. And that's wonderful news, in that he'll get to the truth. Justice will be done. Every Jimmy Savile, every Stalin dying happy in their beds, the truth will out. That's one of the reasons Jesus is glorious, the Bible presents. And yet it gets more personal. What's under our wrapping paper? A friend on Facebook sent me a message, and it just popped up on my phone as I was walking around the wharf, and it just said, it had a link to a YouTube video, and then it just said, "Oh, Matt, it's you," pointing at the video. And then one of those face emojis that just went, oh, and I was like, what has somebody filmed me doing and posted on Facebook? And I was like racking my brain, and I was desperately trying to open the link because I just didn't have fast enough internet signal to open it. And I was like, what's going on here? Maybe that just says something about me. And would you be worried if that was you? Turns out it was just clickbait, and it was just some scam that scammed me to get me to click the link. But what would run through your mind? What truth would you fear coming out? The truth is, the truth will out. None of us have loved God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. None of us have loved our neighbours as ourselves. Judgment Day should be a day for all of us to fear. And yet here is Jesus' glory, not just that he's full of truth, but that he's full of grace. Undeserved favour. Here is a God who lets us face the truth about ourselves because of the truth about him. That he's not some vindictive ogre who's ready to kind of smite us with thunderbolts the moment we step out of line. He's a God who's ready to show grace. Here is God's glory, perfectly held together, full of grace and truth. That great theologian, Arsene Wenger, said, "Christmas is important, but Easter is vital." Now, as an Arsenal fan, Arsene Wenger doesn't get that much right anymore, but I think he's spot on with that as a statement about the Christian faith. Christmas is important, but Easter is vital, because it's not just in the crib God really shows his grace and truth. It's at the cross. I was at home a couple of years ago, and I was rummaging through a box, and I came across a gift that someone had given to my great-grandmother. Here is the gift. It is a bent coin. That's the coin up on the screen, if you can't see it. Now, that coin has got the date on it, 1906. Can you guess what has happened to that coin? I saw a bullet being mouthed at me. So you can decide whether to believe this story or not, and I'll unpack it as it goes. But my dad's convinced that his gran really believed that this guy who was her sweetheart, but wasn't my great grandfather. Scandal in the family. He gave her this coin, saying, "I went over the top during World War I, and I had this coin in my pocket. The bullet came, and it struck the coin instead of me. And now I'm alive because that coin saved me." I think my great-grand was genuinely persuaded. I'm not quite sure I'm persuaded that's really happened. I think it might be the greatest chat-up line ever. Someone just, like, got a load of coins out and just, like, shot them out the back of the pub and just handed them out to whichever girl he thinks he can chat up with the line. But I'll leave you to believe. If you want to be romantic and believe that line really is true, then there you go. Why do I show you this? interesting, but also because I think it would be a great illustration, if true, of what Jesus does at the cross and how at the cross Jesus holds together perfectly grace and truth. The truth about each one of us is that we deserve for the gun to go off, the bullet to be fired, the bullet to come towards us for our failure. And yet at the cross, Jesus says, I'll come up. I will take that bullet in your place. I will take what's heading for you. So it's truth that everything that's wrong is dealt with, and yet it's grace. Somebody else takes it in our place. It's why Christians celebrate the cross, why the cross is the centerpiece of Christianity. What do you see when you look at the cross? The cross is a real historical event. You can piece together from different non-Christian accounts of the first century that there really was a guy called Jesus, that he was killed on a cross under Pontius Pilate, and that his followers claimed that he came back to life 3 days later. What do you make of it when you look at the cross? Do you see a tragic waste of life? Do you see a manipulation, or do you see something glorious? People have seen maybe that recently discovered picture by Leonardo da Vinci, Salvator Mundi, was sold recently at auction for $450 million. Do you see that? And it turns out, was it the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, supposedly, is the guy that's bought it. It's a picture of Jesus holding up his hands in blessing. It cost $450 million. The reality is, the real Jesus you can have for free. He is ready to say, look, I will take the punishment you deserve. Maybe you've had a bad experience of organized religion. Just try and put that to one side in your mind for a second, if you can. Try and forget that. Look at what Jesus says church should be like. But look firstly at Jesus and go, well, if Jesus is like that, if he's that full of grace, that full of truth, well, then I'm in. Well, there are other ways to follow up on some of this. Why not take away the booklet that Marcus, the other pastor here, has put together, published by the Good Book Company. You'd be very welcome to take that away as a free gift. Or there are some booklets over on the table called, hiding underneath the mince pies, called The Word One-to-One. Now, The Word One-to-One is just a chance to look at John's Gospel, and the booklets have on one side the text of John's account of Jesus' life, and on the other side just some notes, some helpful things that just show you what's there in the text. It's the kind of thing you could read for yourself. Or it's the kind of thing you could meet up one-to-one, hence Word One-to-One, and just sit down over a coffee or a pint and chat through with other people and just look at the eyewitness accounts and wrestle with what's there.